Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with my buddy JVL. And I got to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I'm enraged. I mean, I have like chest constricting rage this week, which I haven't had for a while. And I've been mad a lot, but not this level of rage. And I just kind of wanted to talk it over a little bit. And when you're just fully enraged and you want somebody to calm you down, you know who you turn to is JVL, the voice of reason.
That's what I'm here for, Tim.
The warm embrace. So there are two things I want to talk about with you. One, I had a bad thought cross my mind last night in the shower, and I want to review that.
I love bad thoughts.
I know you do. Not that kind of bad thought, people. Don't get your head out of the gutter. I want to review, you know, a counterfactual about how things might have been differently related to violence from our government, from government officials. But before that, I want to just marinate a little bit on, I think, why this upsets me so much in particular, the reaction to the killing of Renee Good. I've been thinking about this, and I'm like, it just turns out that a big percentage of my neighbors and our fellow Americans, you know, the people that we must share this tenuous liberal democracy with, like, have just a significantly lower bar for deadly violence than I do, particularly state deadly violence. And just like, just to start the convo, like, one example of this is I kind of just think the whole discussion of like whether or not it's technically legal or the frame by frame analysis of this killing of Renee Good is kind of crazy to me. Because my bar for like a public servant, like an agent of the state shooting somebody, is just like so high. Like, to me, it's like, you know, to me, it's like, these are tough jobs. I get it. And you know, you could definitely sell me on paying them more.
Tim, I'm sorry. Are police run on a draft basis?
What do you mean?
Are police drafted and they have to become police officers?
Oh, yeah. They're forced.
They have no choice? Is it like the
U.S. It's a voluntary
Army was in Vietnam? It's a job.
Yeah, right.
It's a job where if you don't like it and it's too hard, you could quit and get another job.
In theory.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe not in the Donald Trump economy going forward, but yeah, in theory, okay. Certainly the last few years, the unemployment rates.
I'm sorry, I have zero sympathy for
great.
It. It's a hard
I have a
job.
Little bit of sympathy because I get it, particularly in our country where there's guns everywhere and it's like, you know, every time you open a door, you're like, the person behind you might have a gun. You know,
get a different job.
Okay, sure. But I'm just saying, I'm a little more sympathetic in that sense.
Learn to code.
In the Renee Good case, as we now know, she clearly didn't. I mean, unless you were worried, the cop that killed her walked right by her and she said, I'm not mad, dude.
Not even mad at you, dude.
And she had a beanie on and a dog in the backseat. It just didn't seem like somebody that had a gat hidden, you know? So he had seen her and then killed her 20 seconds later and she was being friendly. So, point being, in some of these cases, people are scared. I get it. But like, if you work for the state, you work for us, you're a public servant. So you can't, if you're going to kill one of us, like the bar has to be like up here at the sky. Like it has to be a very, very explicit, example of like, this was, you had no other choice. Like you were going to die if you didn't kill, like you had to save your life or someone else's life. Like you did it in an acute moment of life-saving necessity.
Yeah,
and a lot of other people don't feel that way, turns out, and are kind of like are pretty loosey goosey about life and death, and it's kind of like, well, if it's on a technicality, if it's like close to the line, you know, and the victim's on the other team, all right, we'll call that one good. And I don't know, man, that's just the thing that's just hard for me. It's been very hard for me to process because I'm just in another world from that.
Well, I mean, is it that they just take a really expansive view of use of deadly force by agents of the state? Or is it that they take an expansive view on use of deadly force against people they don't like? And this is just a real question, right? They're looking for ways to excuse Kyle Rittenhouse. They're looking for ways to excuse cops who shoot people. They did not like Ashley Babbitt getting shot, though. Right. I mean, it is. And the other thing of this is there is this weird thing.
Stand your ground.
Right. Stand your ground.
Thing that Ron DeSantis, what was the law of like where
you can ram people over? Yeah. If you reasonably fear for your life when surrounded by a mob, you are allowed to drive off. And if you hit people, that's okay.
Yeah. Right.
Oh. Unless those people who are threatening your life.
Yeah, so if you're in your F-150 and you're ramming some hippies, that's okay.
That's
if the lady is in her Honda Pilot and she's trying to get away from the masked agents and nicks your knee, she can be executed.
Yes. Yes. This is a thing which used to drive me nuts in the good old days of conservative ink, which is conservatives would tell you all the time about how government can't do anything right. And public school teachers, you got to watch them like hawks. IRS agents are a bunch of, you know, demons, and bureaucrats everywhere are awful at their jobs, and we have to watch them and we should try to fire them. And except for people who have guns and the power to kill, they are always right.
Yeah.
Those government employees, They are as honest as the day is long, and you can trust their judgment in every situation. And how dare you ask for accountability?
Absolute immunity, Vice President said. Like, that was his point of view on this.
Right.
You know, so the bureaucrats, the fraudulent bureaucrats, DOGE has to fire everybody indiscriminately because everybody's committing fraud in every other division of the government.
Yes.
Except for the ICE.
But except for the people who we give guns to. And it is this weird thing where we literally have the laxest standards for the people with the most power. And I think that that is born of a societal, it's avoidance. People, it upsets people to think that the law enforcement officers to which we delegate the state-sanctioned use of force and the ability to take life, that's a little scary. And so you have to pretend that they must always be true blue. And, you know, in the world before cell phone cameras, it was pretty easy to look the other way and to just assume that every story you were always told was right. Imagine what would have happened, right? So we have two shootings within 48 hours of each other with DHS agents, the one in Minneapolis and the one in Portland. With Portland, there seems to be no video. And so we just have the government's insistence that the driver there turned his truck into a weapon and attempted to kill the agents who were talking to him during this stop. And then he fled. And we have the exact same story.
He's a gang member. And the other person in the car is a gang prostitution member. And it happens to be the same gang that the people that we sent to El Salvador wrongly were in.
Yes.
This time we got it right, though. This time you can trust us. Accidentally sent the makeup artist and the guy with the autism awareness tattoo there, and they hadn't done anything. Oopsie doopsie. But this time, just trust us. Same gang.
But in the Minneapolis case, we have video. But they told the same story, basically, right? They said this domestic terrorist ran over, didn't try to run over, but really ran over a police officer. And I don't know. It isn't like police just started behaving badly once we had cell phone video.
Right.
That's not what happened. Right. It isn't like all of a sudden we developed the technology to record police officers acting in the wild, and that's when they started behaving badly and lying.
Yeah.
You know, and I take a very like human nature view of this stuff, which is that you have terrible people everywhere. There are terrible doctors. There are terrible teachers. There are terrible priests. There are terrible journalists. There are journalists who like lie and make things up and who you cannot trust. The difference is that when it comes to law enforcement, we then have an apparatus which, instead of trying to root those people out and get rid of them, tries to protect them. And that's the real problem, right? It's like the Catholic Church priest abuse stuff, right? I'm not going to say it's not bad that you have priests who abuse people, but it's not unexpected because you have that in literally every walk of life. Yes. The scandal of it was that the Catholic Church like hid and then protected these guys. That's what police departments do.
Yeah.
And that's what DHS and the FBI are trying to do now.
So this is what I want to, before we get to the counterfactual, I want to pull out a little related thread about this, which is in your wheelhouse, which is this whole, the culture of life question. We all talked about culture of life back in back in the old conservative ink days. And so part of this is the cops, right? But as you mentioned, it's not just about the cops, right? Like there's the Kyle Rittenhouse, there's the Stand Your Ground Law. And Tucker this morning, you never have to hand it to Tucker, but he wrote a newsletter that was like that ends up being kind of insane. But the point that he's making at the start, which is often true of like when you're a demagogue, you take something that's true and then you kind of turn it into something insane. And so the little kernel of truth that he started with was that like Maybe a lot of people are okay with this killing because our country's too desensitized to violence, and like that we just have like a culture of violence in this country that we just accept. And then Tucker kind of used that to defend Putin weirdly. You know what I mean? It was Tucker, but like that kernel of truth. I read it and I was just like that it touched on something that like that is what's really hitting me and bugging me about this. You know, not to to create false equivalents or lump any of these things together, but just like across the board, like we have these incidents over and over again. The ones that bug me the most is like whether it be the Luigi thing or the killing of Charlie Kirk or all of these state violence against you know the George Floyds and the Trayvon, like all this stuff, right? In every instance, like there's a shockingly big portion of people that are just kind of like, had it coming,
yeah,
had it coming, and
so
and
like, long as it's there on the other side,
as long as it's on the other side, right? And so then you, the so and so, like, I guess my point is, I was just googling this before I got on, and I'm like, in Britain, we're going to do this on a per capita basis, right? Because you know there's many fewer people in Britain. It's like per 10 million. Brits, you know, the police violence is like 0.01 or something, you know, 0.09 or something. And in America, it's 33, you know, and it's like 40 times more in America than over there. Police killings of people. They're just like, we just have come to accept it. Like I noticed Piers Morgan, who's, you know, been pretty Trumpy. He was out there like kept saying to all his conservative friends when this new video came out, and he's like, I thought you guys were going to tell me this was exculpatory. He's like, this is crazy because lives in Britain. And in Britain, the cops carry the fucking billy clubs. And it's like, you can't just go shooting some lady, you know, because, and so it's not that people don't have dark hearts in other places, but like there's something about our culture, right? We're like, this is like, it is very ingrained in it. And it's like, it doesn't feel like there's anybody that's actually fighting against that. Right, that everyone is, and on the right, and in particular on the right, there's literally nobody. It's kind of the opposite, actually, on the right, where it's like, no, this is what we want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like Matt Walsh tweeted basically, like, I don't care whether she was trying to hit him, this Daily Wire guy, whether or not she was trying is immaterial to me. Her actions meant she deserved to die, and like I don't like how do you. It's hard to have a liberal democracy in a culture where there's a big percentage of people that are like, hey, I'm okay with violence against my neighbors, whether it's state violence or whether it's vigilante violence or whatever. Like, I just don't value life at all. Like, it's a culture of death. And that's what I want to come back on to. Culture of life is exactly gone. Right. We've replaced it to a culture of death.
Well, this is the same culture that thought that January 6th was okay.
Right.
Right. I mean, it isn't just state violence. It's okay with violence. Violence against your enemies. And that is fascism. I mean, I wrote about this week, right? This is the difference between liberalism and illiberalism, is that liberalism says the only acceptable violence is violence carried out by the state in accordance with strict standards and the rule of law, right? That is the definition, one of the definitions of liberalism, right? The state has a monopoly on violence. This violence has to take place under sort of a bunch of highly ritualized and very transparent strictures. No. And illiberalism says, no, violence is just a tool that we use against our enemies. We are strong, they are weak, therefore we are allowed to do what we want. This is literally how Matt Walsh and Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance are talking about Venezuela. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. We're strong.
Yeah. They don't even mention, by the way, it's like the set we killed, like, what, 80 people in Venezuela? And I was like, that doesn't even get mentioned. Like that doesn't even come up. It's like, yeah, they were totally just, they don't get to be considered, they're not considered as humans. Like, they're just part of our, like, weird mission to steal their oil. We can kill 80 people, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So this is a thing that I'm actually working on to write about next week. It's the same. So you have seen the contempt for international law, right, coming out of the right over the last week or so over Venezuela, right? And the idea is Matt Walsh said that international law is fake and gay. And like, there's no reason anybody should adhere to it because the only thing that matters is the law of the jungle. The strong can do what they want. Why would that be different for domestic law? Right? If your view is that everything is law of the jungle, might makes right, that is the natural order of things. Why should that stop being true just because you're in America.
And he clearly doesn't think it does.
Right. I mean, Renee Good, well, the cops have the guns, so they're allowed to do what they want.
Yeah, they could execute her.
Yeah.
And so I say, you know, it's like, I don't care whether she was like doing attempted murder or whether she was like doing misdemeanor jaywalking. Yeah.
Right.
If she committed a violation.
If she is one of the bad people, then we can do what we want to her. And I just want to say one more thing. One of the things we have seen over the last, I don't know how long, so maybe it's always been true, but I don't think it has been. The expansion of the concept of reasonable fear for your life has grown so broad.
This is what I'm talking about.
I mean, like, if you are a armed agent of the state in that dude's position in the video we saw today, and you fear for your life while standing to the side of a car which is accelerating away from you at like 2 miles an hour, then you're in the wrong line of work because you're too much of a pussy to be a cop.
You should be.
Your life isn't in danger, right? You would be in more danger playing pickup football, playing flag football with your friends than that. That's insane. And
I mean, you're more in danger behind the wheel of your own car because you're so jittery, so trigger happy, and you would at least be driving, I assume, at higher speeds.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is crazy. No, see, the massive, and then all these people that are defending them on this front are massive pussies. And that goes to my broader point, which is like, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, maybe they're both. Maybe they have bloodlust and they're little sissy boys. But like, I think that it's like post facto, right? It's like, as long as I can plausibly say, that's all.
I need to be able to find a single frame where I can freeze frame and then say, see right here, he was afraid for his life. And therefore,
the car hit him.
To legalize it, right?
Right. See, the car hit him. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's okay. I never said that this woman.
Clear that the car does make any contact.
Yeah, all right. But even like, if it does.
There's a difference between a car making glancing contact with somebody. And also, let's just say for sake of argument that the car makes glancing contact with him. He then draws it. Well, the car's already made contact with him, and then he draws his weapon. The period of danger is over.
Right.
By the time he draws his weapon, the period of danger is over.
So you have her license, but now we have this whole video. You know what I mean? Like, again, the death penalty should only be for the most extreme circumstances. We can't just be like just how willy-nilly people are with these life and death situations. I don't know. We could go on and
which
on.
Which brings us to Ashley Babbitt.
Yes, right? The bugs.
So this is the question. Right. This is the question.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask it or do you want me to?
I will. This was the bad thought. This last night I was thinking about this. I was after reading your triad, actually, you'd referenced earlier about Ashley Babbitt and Renee Good and the face of fascism. And I was just kind of thinking in my head, and I like made this point that you make sometimes, which is like a point for arguing. I was just trying to think about a point that I was going to make on Twitter or something like that. I should have not been doing some argument. I was in with some MAGA loser, and I was like, you know, and I ended up posting it. And the post said basically, using the J.D. Vance standard for violence. In this case, like if that guy had a reasonable fear for his life using that standard, the January 6th should have been a bloodbath, and there should have been dozens.
They should have killed thousands of people.
Yeah, I said dozens. You said thousands. Whatever. At least dozens. Like dozens of people should have been killed.
Yeah, they should have gotten out a minigun like they were in a Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, you look at the video. They're getting tased. Michael Fanone's like on the ground. He's afraid for his life. He's injured. Brian Sicknick dies. Many people are scared for their lives. Many police officers with weapons, and if they acted in the same way that Jonathan Ross acted, there'd be massive bloodshed on the Capitol steps that day. Mm-hmm. And so then the next thought that I had, the bad thought referenced at the beginning, was, well, fuck. Maybe that is right. Maybe they should have done that. And maybe we wouldn't be here. Because maybe if that had happened, it would have poisoned the well for Trump so much that he couldn't have been able to come back. And it would have sent a signal that like the side of liberal democracy is not going to be bullied. And then I came back around and said, that's wrong. That's wrong. Which takes me back to my original point, which is why I wanted to start there, which is I can't be there. Like I cannot be made to be like them. I can't be on the side that believes that we should just be killing people who are US citizens. But then I messaged this to you, my bad thought, and you're kind of like, yeah, I think your bad thought might have been right. So I want to hear the pitch.
All right. So let me give you the pitch, because I think I can square the circle for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that. We can say both that we don't want that, but that if it had happened, we'd live in a better world today.
I don't know how you square that circle then, because then you could, you're going to do it? You're going to try? Yeah. If we would have lived in a better world, maybe that's the Machiavellian, or not Machiavellian, that's just like a practical.
Well, that is the utilitarian world view, yeah. Right? My view of policing is that professionalized policing's job is to uphold the rule of law, and that most of the time that can best be done through de-escalation. And what you saw on January 6th was like the highest form of professionalism from cops, constantly seeking to de-escalate violent situations in order to preserve life, under the assumption that like this will, if we could just get through this moment, everything will be fine later, you know, and we're going to save people's lives by redirecting them, like that video, the famous video in the stairwell, Harry Dunn, you know, in the stairwell with these mobs coming at him, and he doesn't draw on them, right? Instead, he redirects them away from, lawmakers.
Romney and others, yeah.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, by the logic of the Minneapolis ICE guys, he should have pulled on them and just emptied his gun, right? That's what I mean. What else? I mean, what a reasonable fear for his life. But he didn't, and that's right. That is the highest example of what we want from law enforcement. And I wouldn't want it any other way, honestly. Because you have to
believe, honestly,
I mean, we live in a society which needs law enforcement. Like, you can't not have law enforcement. And so the goal is to wind up with law enforcement that is professionalized. And like, I just can't give up on that, because if you give up on the idea that cops can be professionalized, then your society is screwed, because you got to have cops. All of that said, had the Capitol Police acted like ICE, I think, again, at least dozens of people die, probably more. And the national reaction to January 6th does not feel like we dodged a bullet. It feels like Kent State. And
worse.
I mean, the revulsion that would come from that, I think, would have to have made the Senate convict Trump and not allow him to run again, which then frees the party up to try to course correct. God, no. I mean, maybe they can't do it. Maybe he himself can't be president again. And I think that changes a lot of the last 5 years. So had a bad thing happened, we wind up in a better place. But you still want the bad thing not to have happened.
Yeah. And you free yourself, because it's like, it doesn't really matter what you want, right? What happened, and this, we're actually, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, we have no agency here. We're just trying to analyze it. I don't know. The other side of that, so I went through all of this in my mind. It's a very peaceful shower, you know, kind of thinking about all the different kind of outcomes.
45 minutes later, you're like just staring at the drain, yeah, with your eyes closed in the abyss.
Yeah, it's like a dystopia, choose your own adventure moment for me. And the thing that I came to is that it might have begetted more violence. And so that's the hard thing, which is like where you don't know where the line is, right? Like you want perhaps professionalized police, and you do want law and order, right? Like you don't, like that you can reach a moment where there aren't enough police. We've seen this over the last 5 years, or police aren't doing their jobs for various reasons. And that like encourages people, the bad parts of people's nature, right? But then you can see the other side where like overly aggressive police violence causes a backlash. Right. Like, you know, and it's like, you know, balancing all things. And so I did think about that as I was like, OK, yeah, maybe the Republicans then convict him. Maybe not. Maybe, though, probably. But maybe Trump doesn't leave.
Possible.
You know what I mean? Like maybe we get into some other, the choose your own adventure takes us to some other world that we don't even know about, right? Where he,
yeah, totally got, possible.
You know what I mean? Or eventually, yeah, he'd have to leave. But there's some other violent clash then, and maybe we needed that I don't know. Maybe this muddle is wrong, and
Wind up
maybe
in
the whole thing collapsed, right? Like, I don't know.
The state only uses violence against non-Trumpy people, right? I mean, that is the world you wind up in is a world in which the state becomes very careful and judicious in its use of violence against Trump people, and it has gloves off with everybody else. I'm not sure that the incentives are great with that.
I have one positive choose your own adventure that is where I have hope for. I got a text from a buddy a couple of days ago that he is from Minneapolis and was just really down about optimism. And I was like, where can I get it? It didn't end up well. And so we don't think about it as a political success anymore. But like the initial reaction to Black Lives Matter, the initial reaction to George Floyd, like, was a political success. And like, part of the reason Trump lost was because there were a lot of people, some percentage of people, who were inclined to vote Republican but are not deeply political, that like saw that and were outraged, like, you know, or like, and we know that they exist in the real world, right? And it's almost a cliche, right? Like, the types of people they are. They're like old suburban white people mostly, but like, not, there are others, you know, who are like, it was a wake up call, right? And they're just like, things have gotten too far. Like, I don't want to live in a society like this. That's really my only hope for this, is that I think that there will, obviously this will harden, I think, Trump's support. Like, he'd rather be talking about violence in the streets and ICE and disobeying police than the economy crashing or tariffs or Epstein, right? Like, this is a better issue set for him, no doubt. But on the other hand, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see next week. I also wonder if the same category of people that have already been turning off for him are just kind of like, this guy is such a jackalope, such a jackass. Like, people are instinctively pro-cop, a lot of people, like neighborhood cop. But like, some guy that's a fucking fed that just got hired, that's wearing a mask, that's like calling her a bitch after he kills her. I don't know, man. Do people really like, there's some people want that, obviously. What?
Not highly professionalized.
Not highly professionalized. Again, I don't know. I think it could hurt them.
If school librarian,
be a backlash again.
That, if you're a public school librarian called somebody a fucking bitch, they'd lose their job.
For sure.
Even if they didn't murder someone.
Correct.
But, you know, again, we have the lowest possible standards for people with the highest possible level of power. And
so you're not there. You're not there with any hope, the backlash hope. You don't think this will cause backlash?
No, I don't. I tend to think that, like, the world of cell phones, I had hoped would eventually bring about like a broad based desire for police reform. And I mean, like, police reform at the highest levels, like more internal affairs, the end of qualified immunity, the ability to sort of.
You got that. We have an end of qualified immunity. We have absolute immunity now.
Yeah.
That's a JD.
You know, like, once people were able to actually see what was going on, I figured, well, no, people are going to want to have professional cops. They're not going to want to have a bunch of thugs who feel like they can lie anytime they want and a system above them that's willing to cover things up. But, you know, we're not there yet.
All right. Do you have any other deep thoughts? Do you have anything to warm me up?
I do wonder what city cops make of this stuff with ICE.
Me too. I talked to Mayor Fry. It's interesting. And it's kind of like, I hope he's right, is all I can say, because I don't know. I don't talk to the Minneapolis any cops. And so it's like, is he telling me the truth? Is he spinning? Does he know? Are the bad cops, they're not talking? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to know. But his view was that there's a lot of anger at the police after George Floyd, obviously, in the city. Mm-hmm. And it's like, a lot of work went into stuff you're talking about, professionalizing the police, like community engagement, right? You know, whatever, connecting. And he said that a lot of citizens now in Minneapolis these last couple of weeks who have been afraid of the federal officials or have seen stuff they've been doing wrong have called their local cops, which I don't know, like, says something that there's like some level of trust that can be built there. And, you know, maybe it's like you kind of need a worse actor to sort of boomerang you back to the, you know, back to the other side. But I don't, maybe that's Pollyanna. I don't know.
I mean, look, at the most basic level, city cops don't wear masks. You know, like you saw this all through Chicago, right? When the Bovino was in Chicago, all of his people are dressed like ISIS paramilitaries. And the Chicago cops around them are just like, you know, you could see their badge number and their names and their faces. And they're just acting like professionals. I can't imagine that if you are a city cop in Portland or Chicago or New York or anywhere else, you could look at these guys coming in who are just, again, they're just bad at their jobs, right? They are tacked out. They've got like the Punisher stuff and they're wearing masks and they barely even want to identify themselves as being law enforcement. And I find it hard to believe that you could look at that and think, yeah, no, I'm glad to have you here. You know, you're making my life easier, because they're not. So maybe there's some of that, and maybe that, as you say, forces communities closer and winds up resulting in better relationships between communities and police designed to be more professional to show that they're different. I mean, look, it's not impossible to have a professionalized police force. There are, you know, you look throughout America, if you talk to Radley Balco about this, right? Like the FBI has always been pretty professionalized, in part because they're they recruit like lawyers and CPAs. They just have a bunch of highly educated people who are more professional and who are used to acting in professional ways.
Other parts of the world. I mean, we have viewers that are watching this from other parts of the world. There are other parts of the world that are pretty, that, you know, we're used.
It's not impossible to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The whole history of policing, anybody who is interested in this, Michael Crichton, one of Michael Crichton's early books is The Great Train Robbery. And the first half of the book is actually a potted history of London's Metropolitan Police Department, which was the first police department in the first modern police department in the world. It is worth reading if you have any interest in how the history of police works, because the London Metropolitan Police Department was originally founded, basically half the cops were crooks. And literally they would like rob someone during the day, then go to the night shift and be cops and like shake people down. And, you know, like, the people running Metropolitan Police realized pretty quick, oh, okay, so this doesn't work. We got to change some things around here.
It's interesting. Oh boy. Okay. Well,
sorry, buddy.
There you go.
I didn't lift you up.
I've been doing these things every once in a while with Sam. We have a weekend potpourri where I throw like three crazy stories at him and we laugh. Yeah. And here I am for our weekend potpourri, and I'm like throwing like very depressing thoughts about whether our country has a culture of death, and you know, a counterfactual about mass killing at the Capitol steps. And I apologize for that. So we'll do something.
Very different person than Sam is.
That's true. Yeah, it's meant to be that way. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us this weekend, and have a glass of wine or whatever. Go for a walk, smell some flowers, hug a cop. We'll see y'all soon.